Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for the Packers' third preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals. To talk about that game, to talk about the city of Cincinnati, we got someone who lives there. We got our very own Jamie Jors on the phone this morning. Jamie, how you doing?
I am doing good, Brian. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. Now, the last name Jors isn't even not for long, correct?
What was that? I'm sorry.
The last name Jors? That's not going to be your last name for long.
No, it's not. Although I am stuck with it for another 10 months, and then it's switching to Snowden.
Snowden. Okay, that's going to take Snowden. Some getting used yes. to for me. Jamie Snowden.
Me too. Yes.
Well,
although if you ask my gym, it's already Jamie Snowden. They think we're married.
Well, Jamie's my guinea pig for the show. What I'd like to do throughout the course of the season here is talk to Packer fans who live in the cities where the Packers are traveling to, kind of giving the visitors, those who are traveling with the team to see them on the road, kind of a little bit of a field guide of the cities the Packers are going to be visiting this year. And Jamie, you live in Cincinnati, and can you just give us maybe the Reader's Digest condensed version of your background that brought you from a Wisconsin native all the way out to Cincinnati?
Yeah, I moved here, gosh, it's been like 5 years now. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. I did AmeriCorps, which is like the Domestic Peace Corps, and I was out in San Francisco, and I didn't want to stay there, but I wasn't really ready to move back home to Wisconsin, so I thought I would try Cincinnati, and I ended up here, and I like it. I have a good job. It's a lot like Milwaukee size-wise and kind of community makeup-wise, and so it's really easy to kind of fit at home here, and it's still close enough to Wisconsin that I can get back up there and see family and go to Packer games and stuff. Not too difficult, so...
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about Cincinnati. If I'm a fan coming to the game tomorrow or I'm there already today, well, what do I have to do to kill some time? What's like a tourist destination I could visit and have a good time today?
Well, I think tonight I'm heading out to the Christian Moorline Lager House. It's they actually have been doing a lot of rebuilding around the riverfront on the Cincinnati side, and that's one of the new places. It's this big, Christian Moorline is a big brewery here, and you can go and take the brewery tour and try a lot of the different kind of beers that are made in Cincinnati, and it's been really popular. It opened earlier this year, and so that's definitely where I'm taking some of the Wisconsinites who are traveling here for the game, so that's what we're doing today. But otherwise, there's just been a lot of effort put into making the Cincinnati side of the riverfront a lot better. Cincinnati's kind of unique is in the greater metro area is half in one state and half in the other. And the Covington and Kentucky sides there's so many bars and places to go and sit out and watch the river, but there wasn't really a lot on the Cincinnati side. So they just built a big restaurant, and then they have a new park down by the river, and there's the National Underground Freedom Center that's actually between the two stadiums. So there's a lot going on down by the river in downtown now.
That surprises me. I mean, you're saying everything's on the Kentucky side, but the city of Cincinnati's on the Ohio side. That I'm not from the area, but that just seems a little weird to me.
It is definitely weird. The last time, last season during the football season, my work organized this tailgate thing, and we had a party bus, and we picked up people, and we actually watched the game in Kentucky. You know, like that's the bar you went to, and that's where a lot of the big bars and nightlife is, and it just wasn't really in downtown Cincinnati, and so they're really making a push to kind of bring that back. They have it's called The Banks and new bars there. There's Toby Keith's. I love this bar and grill. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really trying to put some money back into downtown.
Okay, so you kind of went through the brewery scene. If you could give me a suggestion, I want to go out to eat tonight or tomorrow, maybe before the game in the afternoon. What's a good restaurant I could go? What's your suggestion?
Well, these are kind of the popular Cincinnati choices. If you're going to come to Cincinnati, and I especially recommend this for people from Wisconsin, you have to try their chili. Growing up, chili was what we made almost every Sunday for Packer games. And Cincinnati chili is a little bit different, but they really love it here. You can find, like, Skyline is almost like their McDonald's of chilies. They're everywhere. Everywhere. but there's a lot of little local ones, like Blue Ash Chili. And Cincinnati just does it different. Like, they put hot dogs and then the chili on top of it and, like, a three-way, a four-way, a five-way with cheese and onions, and it's just what everyone eats. Like, when you go to the Reds games or the Bengals games, you can get them in, like, a 10-pack. Call it a 10-pack of Tonys, and people eat them all. the other thing would just be, it's called the Montgomery Inn. We were talking about it on Twitter yesterday. It's known for its barbecue sauce, and their ribs are just to die for. We've had a lot of work outings there. I don't eat meat, so I can't personally vouch for it, but everyone I know loves it, so...
Very
good. I would tell people to go there.
That's news to me. Chili in Cincinnati. I wasn't really, prior to yesterday, aware of that phenomenon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this morning I was looking on, like, Google, and I just put chili in the zip code of my work. And, you know, when, like, the little map pops up, there was at least six places within the little map that Google gives me of Skyline Chili. I mean, it's everywhere. And that's when my dad came out to visit for the first time. That's where we took him, and he loved it. So
fantastic.
It's really weird, but they love it.
All right. Tell me about the tailgate scene tomorrow before the game. What can Packer fans expect? Where maybe should they go if they have the choice? Where should they park? Things like that.
Well, Cincinnati is a little bit different, I guess, for me, just because the stadium is downtown, so it's not like, you know, when you go to Lambeau Field, you're looking for a bar to park in or someone's front yard. You either have to get a parking pass and park in one of the approved lots, or you park downtown in one of the big parking structures. There's one main tailgate lot, and that's it's to the east of the stadium, and it's this huge lot where a lot of people walk down to and tailgate. I think that's where I'm parking, and so that's hopefully where I will be tailgating. It depends how early I can get down there tomorrow. But there's usually a lot going on there, playing cornhole. I don't know if they call it cornhole in Wisconsin, the game with the boards and you throw the beanbags. That's really big here, and so there's always people outside doing that. But it's definitely a kind of a different atmosphere of walking down, like, around downtown to go to the game. There's a lot of pre-game tailgating just that happens at bars and restaurants as opposed to sitting outside in your car.
Mm-hmm. Have we learned officially, is there a TV blackout tomorrow in the Cincinnati area?
Yes, there is. The game is blacked out. It will not be. It's being played, shown here at 11:35. And so that also means that it is blacked out on NFL.com. So I did check this morning, if you do have the preseason package and were expecting to watch the Packers that way, you're probably going to have to start scouring for different online links or find some other way to watch the game if you're outside the state of Wisconsin, just because Cincinnati is not really known for selling out. Last year they had six of their home games were blacked out. Their first preseason game was blacked out. So I'm being a good NFL person and going to the game instead of sitting at home not watching it.
Yeah, so what you're saying, if you're a Packer fan, you live in Ohio, go to the game.
Yes, go. There's so many tickets available. In fact, I get my boss has season tickets, and I get the email and his emails about them, and the Bengals send out an email like, just so you know, these are the tickets that are also still available around your season tickets. If you want to invite more people to the game, you can buy these up. which is just, it's such a strange concept, you know, coming from being a Packer fan, because could you imagine if that availability existed? I mean, there was at least seven sections, or like seven little groups of tickets around my boss's section that are available.
Unbelievable. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for giving us the scoop here on Cincinnati and the scene around the stadium here this morning. If anyone has questions about Cincinnati, she's on Twitter at Jamie Lee 1, right?
Yep.
Very good. So, Jamie, thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
Okay, see ya. Our very own Jamie Jors of Cheesehead TV joining us this morning on Railbird Central. And very cool. I want to start this feature every week throughout the regular season. Every week the Packers are on the road. So every road game I'd like to talk to a fan out there from the who lives in or was at least from or can give us some sort of insight on the opposing city. So I've already tabbed our own John Rahor for the next Packers away game. Of course, the Packers play week two at Chicago Bears. So John's going to give us the lowdown on Chicago for that game. But throughout the course of the season, I'll be looking for Packers fans everywhere to tell me about the local scene. So I think it's cool to learn about these cities. And I'm really kind of excited for this feature. Hopefully something we can do on like Fridays here on Railbird Central in advance of the Sunday games for the most part. You know, a couple games here and there, I guess, where they don't play on a Sunday. But we'll worry about that as it comes along. So I guess we'll have to worry about that, you know, when the Packers, early in the season, they play on a Monday, don't they, at Seattle? Yeah, so anyhow, that's in the future. For right now, let's talk some Packers football. What's going on with the world of the Green Bay Packers? If you took a look at this morning's Packers Daily Links, I left a link to it. If you scroll to the bottom right-hand side of the page right now, there's links to all this morning's or the latest stories posted at Cheesehead TV and this morning's Packers Daily Links. Top story today, Packers still unsure of what they're going to do in the secondary. The starting positions at safety and cornerback still unsettled. Pretty much the only unsettled positions on the team are in the secondary. And perhaps maybe what does that say? Does that mean the Packers are weak at those positions? We wait to find out, I guess, till the regular season begins. But yeah, I mean, obviously, the Charles Woodson starting spot when the Packers are in the base defense is settled. Or I mean, his spot in general, so even if they're not in the base, they're in the nickel or dime, he's going to be playing that slot cornerback position. But when the Packers are in, you know, their sub-package defenses, nickel dime, who's going to play safety? Is it going to be Jerron McMillan, the rookie? Is it going to be M.D. Jennings? Is it going to be Anthony Levine, who's actually kind of been getting some playing time here now with the starters this past week in Green Bay? We don't really know. It's kind of surprising to me a little bit that, you know, after Jerron McMillan had that good game last week against the Browns, he actually kind of, you know, played better than any of the other safeties, that I thought he'd be seeing more playing time with the starters this week, but that hasn't been the case. Anthony Levine? How do we pronounce that? I'm going Levine. He, you know, had seen practice time with the starters this week. And I guess I just thought that practice time would go to Jerron McMillan after his solid performance this past Thursday against the Browns. I thought he'd be seeing that playing time with the starters. And, you know, the Packers haven't settled on anyone yet, so it's not like Jerron McMillan is out of the running. So, you know, there's still time for anybody yet, for any of those three guys to make an impression and see what they can do. See if they can be the safety on defense opposite Morgan Burnett, at least when Charles Woodson is playing the slot cornerback position. Chad Taporsky on our live blog here saying, according to the pronunciation guide, it's Levine. Levine, okay. Anthony Levine, Packers safety. And by the way, if you want to interact with our live blog, I think you're going to have to use the hashtags CheeseheadTV or the hashtags Railbird in order for your comments to be picked up on our live blog today, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. I'm not sure comments are being approved. Having some issues with Cover It Live. We may have met our quota for number of comments or views or whatever. It's getting complicated, social media, I tell you. But anyhow, in addition to the safety position, cornerback still unsettled in Green Bay as well. We know Tremont Williams is going to be a starter. We know Charles Woodson's going to play the slot cornerback position. The question is, who's going to be the other perimeter corner opposite Tremont Williams? I mean, this is a full-time job, as long as, you know, assuming Charles Woodson's not going to play in the perimeter anymore. We're looking for somebody for a full-time job, and it's been back and forth all during training camp. The Packers have already seemed to have come full circle. First day of training camp opens, first day, Jared Bush is your starter at cornerback. But, you know, caught some people by surprise. Didn't really see that coming, maybe. Although perhaps we should have after Jared Bush got the start in the last game of last year in the playoffs, if you remember. But anyway, so Jared Bush begins the season. Then they kind of go around to different people. Then Devon House is getting his chance, and then Devon House gets injured, and then Casey Hayward got his chance last week. Casey Hayward getting the nod in the starting lineup in the second preseason game. And now it's back to Jared Bush again. And you can't count Sam Shields out. Here's a guy who's been a starter for the Packers in the past as well. So variants out there. You know, four candidates at the cornerback position. And now the Packers are back to Jared Bush this past week during practice, at least. I'm guessing he's going to get the nod to start with the starters, at least, on Thursday against the Bengals. I don't know how long it'll stay that way, if they're going to, you know, rotate people around or things like that. So, it's way up in the air yet. And, you know, Devon House probably was setting himself up to be the starter before he got injured. In that first preseason game, had a fantastic game against the Chargers week one, then he goes and has the subluxation of his shoulder, which basically is a fancy word for dislocation, and we're still waiting for the word on Devon House. You know, they're waiting another week yet or so. Shouldn't be, you know, sometime in the next week or so, we should find out about Devon House, whether they're going to have surgery or whether Devon House is going to wear a harness on his shoulder and try to play through it. So, you know, I'm just guessing, unless it's really bad, I'm guessing he's going to play with the harness. I mean, I know Devon House is going to be pushing for that. I don't think he wants the season to end. I mean, he's so close to being a starter on defense. You want your career to, you don't want it to, like, be put on hold. You know, his stock is up right now, so he's going to want to play with that. But, I mean, maybe it's the doctor's decision. Who knows? But, yeah, it's up in the air. Chad Taporsky on the live blog asked, curious to know how the coaches really feel about Shields. Man, I think Sam Shields is in the doghouse. I mean, he went from starter last year, you know, at least starter in the nickel package last year, to on the bench now. And he's the one guy who hasn't been working with the starters this whole training camp. Nobody's counting him out of the competition, but Jared Bush, Devon House, Casey Hayward, they've all got their shot with the starters. Sam Shields hasn't been doing that yet. you know, during training camp this year in 2012. And I mean, that's a steep drop for him. Like I said, I mean, here's a guy who was a starter at times last year. Here's a guy who played a very large role during the Packers' run to the Super Bowl in 2010. And now, I mean, go back to, again, the very last game of last season in the playoffs. I know it was a loss, but go back to that last game. Sam Shields was demoted then. You know, that was the game where Jarrett Bush and Sam Shields shared snaps. Basically, Jarrett Bush playing early downs, Sam Shields playing late downs, more or less. You know, the Packers trying to get the toughness of Jarrett Bush on the field when there might be running plays likely for second down. And then trying to get the coverage abilities of Sam Shields on the field on those late passing downs. I mean, that's the situation was the last game of last year. And to tell you the truth, I really wouldn't be surprised if they do kind of go into some timeshare situation like that this year, at least in the beginning. Maybe until Devon House is fully healthy. Maybe even when he comes back. I don't know. But that could really be interesting to see how they use these guys, how they utilize them. Who's playing in what situations or what packages, things like that. Yeah, so really interesting. Could be, you know, there could be shuffling guys in and out of the game. Who knows? I mean, maybe there's, you know, really, again, it could be a situation where putting too much stock into the term starter. I mean, if they get equal playing time, it doesn't really matter who's on the field for the first snap of the game. It's just that they're playing almost equal no matter what. So we don't know who's going to win this job or if there's going to be a winner at all. So we wait and see. Who knows? Two preseason games left. If all of a sudden one of these guys has a good game, you know, they could win it outright. You know, Jarrett Bush looked really good last week. Casey Hayward, been up and down, but there's been a lot of good things from Casey Hayward, though. You know, breaking on some passes, recovering that fumble last week. So he's certainly not out of it. And, you know, is assuming Devon House just comes back and healthy, you know, he'll be in the mix. And Sam Shields, I mean, you can't count him out of it yet. You can't yet. Sometimes I wonder, I've wondered to myself, I may have wondered it out loud on Twitter a time or two as well, whether Sam Shields could be trade bait. Should I whisper that? Is that a possibility? Could he actually be trade bait? Is there any teams out there that saw him in 2010 and were like really intrigued? Like, wow, we can send a draft choice and get a potential starter here for Sam Shields. But did the Packers want to give him up on him already? That easily? I don't know the answer to these questions. So, but I'm throwing them out there. Throwing them out there just to see what sticks or what takes. Third preseason game tomorrow on Thursday. Traditionally the game where the starters play the most. You know, one situation, one position that's worth watching tomorrow is running back. Who's going to get the start tomorrow? Is it going to be Cedric Benson or is it going to be Alex Green? You know, I think they're going to both work with the starters tomorrow. Again, doesn't matter really who's the starter, perhaps, who plays that first play. If I had to guess, I think they're going to go with Alex Green just because he has the most knowledge of the system. So he'll get the start maybe. But again, I think they're going to share time with the starters. They want to see them both working with the first string. They're going to want to see both of them working behind that first string offensive line, both of them getting handoffs from Aaron Rodgers, things like that. But yeah, I mean, you got to assume that those two guys are going to get most of the carries in the first half, probably all the carries in the first half, unless John Kuhn gets one maybe. But, I mean, James Starks out for Thursday's game. Brandon Sane out for Thursday's game due to injury. So Cedric Benson will be playing in his first game in a Packers uniform tomorrow after sitting out the second preseason game. You know, they weren't comfortable with him playing in a game for the first time in pads last Thursday. Can't really blame him, I guess. But, you know, now he's going to. Now he's going to be playing on Thursday, first time ever, and sharing the load with Alex Green. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how both of them do. Word from Mike McCarthy yesterday that Alex Green is almost, you know, back to being full strength. And he certainly has shown it, you know, this training camp. Packers have kind of taken it easy with him a little bit here and there, especially in the beginning of training camp. They, you know, they would sit out Alex Green here and there out of practice just to give him some rest, some time to recover, some to recuperate. You know, as last year he had that torn ACL. So, it's they've had the kid gloves on Alex Green. You know, they haven't overused him in games or anything like that, even with all the depth problems they've had. But yeah, so he's almost back to full strength, almost back to 100%, and almost no restrictions with Alex Green. And he's looked like it. I mean, he's looked good this preseason, especially considering a guy coming off injury, but has looked good nonetheless. So good to see that the Packers running back situation getting a little more solidified here. Be interesting to see as the regular season approaches. First of all, do they keep James Starks? Do they keep Brandon Saint? And will they be healthy and ready for the start of the regular season, those guys? But that's a question for another day. They're not going to play on Thursday, not ready yet. So Alex Green, Cedric Benson going to carry the load. Chad Taporski on the live blog says, Jennings and Finley back, healthy offensive line. Who will stop them? Yeah, so Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley, after those two guys have missed the first two preseason games, going to be playing in the third one here with the starters, it looks like. And, yeah, so how much do you play those guys is the question as well. You know, the third preseason game, we've said before, traditionally the game, the Packers starters play the most. That's what history has shown us under Mike McCarthy, at least under his tenure in Green Bay. But do you want to put the kid gloves on Jennings and Finley and kind of protect them from injury? Do you kind of want to see them for a series or two and then maybe cut back on them a little bit, perhaps? You don't want Jennings to be exposed to a concussion again. You don't want Finley aggravating his quad injury. Could that be the case? But I mean, regardless, they should play. That seems to be the indication, at least. And yeah, so the Packers offense looking to get back on track on Thursday, back on track against the Bengals as they get ready for the regular season. Yeah, get ready, folks. Roster cuts going to be on their way after this game. Let's see. I think, I'm not sure what day it is. In fact, if anybody wants to chime in on the live blog, if you have that, when the exact date for the first roster cutdown is, I think they got to be down to 75 players after the third preseason game. But they wait till the entire NFL is done with their third preseason game. So I don't know. There's probably games on Friday, Saturday. I don't know if there is on Sunday as well. So, going to have to wait a couple days here. But sometimes teams don't wait until after their third preseason game to cut people. They don't wait for the date. They'll just do it immediately after the third preseason game. Live blog here, August 27th for the first cutdown. So that's still 5 days away. So what is that, Sunday? So still several days until we learn what the Packers may be doing there for the first roster cutdown day. I mean, really, though, I mean, some of these guys at the first roster cutdown are definitely the guys you're not expecting to be big contributors to your team. So really not that big. Certainly the final roster cutdown is bigger news and has a bigger impact. But still, you know, the roster gets a little bit smaller and there's a little bit less of a team to work with for that final preseason game that'll be next week. So anyhow, thank you everybody so much here for joining us here on a Wednesday morning at Cheesehead TV here on Railbird Central. This will be the final episode of the week. I'm not going to be around on Friday morning, taking the weekend off. But we'll be back next week, Monday. So, or actually we won't. I'm going on a long vacation, a long weekend this upcoming week. So won't be back until next Wednesday. Actually, it'll be a full week till the next Railbird Central. I apologize that. So just a long weekend. I'm not going anywhere too far. So, off Friday, off Monday, we'll be back next Wednesday. But, yeah, we'll see you later, everyone. I'm Brian Caravu on behalf of Jamie Jors, who talked to us this morning. We'll see you later, everyone. Enjoy the game on Thursday, and go Pack Go. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.
Clean.